Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with The Reign of Asa as we pick up in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 9. Now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
There came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with a host of 1 million men. So Asa has a lot of men, 580,000, but this guy's coming with 1 million men plus 300 chariots, and they came to Mareshah. And Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Mareshah. Facing an opponent that has more powerful weapons and that outnumbers you, the wisest thing you can do is what Asa did: pray. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Jehovah, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or them that have no power. Help us, O Jehovah our God, for we rest in thee, and in thy name we go out against this multitude. First of all, in his prayer, he recognizes that if God helps us, that's all we need. And it doesn't make any difference to God whether we are weak or whether we are strong. God can help the weak as well as the strong. Difficulty has to always be measured by the capacity of the agent that's doing the work. He is calling upon God to do the work. Thus, any thought of difficulty is absurd. Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with those that are weak or those that are strong. It is interesting how that we almost automatically and naturally carry over unto God our own limitations. When we are faced with something that doesn't seem to be any problem, it seems to be just a simple solution, we have several alternatives, and, there's nothing here. Well, Lord, help us, and thanks a lot, just stand by, and we can do our thing, and we don't really get too excited about it. But when you're coming up against some impossible situations, then it seems that our whole tenor of prayer changes. They're not really sort of casual, nonchalant prayers. Now they become desperate prayers. We even consider fasting and praying. And this takes a whole different type of a prayer, because this is a real problem. I don't know the answer. Like if a person comes and says, would you pray? I've got a headache. Sure, can pray for headaches. No problem, If the Lord doesn't take it away, take an aspirin, It's headaches are simple things to pray for. But if a person calls up and says, I just got reports from the tests that they have made upon my little girl, and she has leukemia. We say, oh, God, oh, no. Oh, God, you can't just pray, oh, Lord, touch and heal this headache. Now you got to really get into the prayer. If it's leukemia, that takes really a real forceful prayer. One where you sustain, a bit. You get even the prayer voice and the prayer language. You have to use King James for this one, Oh, God! Thou art the Creator, Lord. you really get into it, because leukemia is tough. And if someone comes along who has an arm amputated, and they say, you know, it's really convenient not having an arm. Would you pray that God would give me a new arm? You don't even pray about that. You tell them that they have to learn to live with things, you know, and God will help them to live with it. But I mean, after all, what do you expect God to do? And yet God said to Jeremiah, behold, I am God. Is there anything too hard for me? You know, if you take an octopus and cut off its arm, it'll grow a new one. You take a worm and cut it in half and it'll grow a new half. But God can't, you know, do something like that for a man. The limitations are not with God. The limitations are with us. Because we carry our human qualifying over into the divine. If it's easy for us, must be easy for God. If it's difficult for us, it must be difficult for God. If it's impossible for us, must be impossible for God. That's unfortunately the way we look at things and consider things, but that's wrong. It is just as easy for God to heal a person of leukemia as it is to heal them of a simple little earache. It doesn't take any more effort or power on the part of God to heal from the most severe of diseases or illnesses from a human standpoint. God is not limited. And as the king recognizes, Lord, it is nothing for you to help. What seems to us to be so difficult or so impossible is really nothing at all for God. Nothing for God. Behold, I am God. Is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah, when he prayed again, said, Lord, you are God. There is nothing too hard for you. And God wants to bring us to that realization that it isn't the prayer that does it, nor is it the fervency of the prayer or whatever. It's just the faith in God that counts. Can I believe that God is able to do it? Now, our problem in looking at things from the human standpoint and from the human diagnosis is that so many times we are so overwhelmed by the power of the disease or by the impossibility of man's being able to cope with it that we come really defeated. We don't really expect God to work because the doctor has said it's hopeless. There's just absolutely nothing that can be done. And so we take that as it's just hopeless. But we're not taking God into account. When in the New Testament, the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, when the disciples had gathered back with the body of believers after having been threatened actually by the religious rulers, as they gathered back and told the things that had happened, the threats that were made, they said, well, let's pray. And as they began to pray, they said, oh, Lord, you are God. You created the heavens and the earth and everything that is in them. I think that's a good way to begin prayer. As we acknowledge the power of God, He is the creator of this whole universe. He is the creator of our bodies. He is the creator of all of these marvelous functions within the bodies. He is the creator of our various glands that produce the various hormones and chemicals that keep the body in balance. Now, we can ascribe to God the power of creation, but we can't ascribe to Him the capacity of tuning up His creation. Oh, my body chemistry is just all out of whack, you know, my hypothalamus is just doing too much, or my pituitary, well, God's not able to make minor adjustments, you know, with these things, is he? He only created them and designed them to begin with. Lord, it's nothing for you to help. And we need to have that awareness. When we come to God and we're asking God to intervene, then it doesn't make any difference if I'm weak as a kitten or as powerful as a lion. Doesn't make any difference. God, help me. I'm calling upon you. I'm not going to rely upon my strength, or I'm not going to worry about my weakness, Lord. I'm looking to you to help. Help us, O Lord. For we rest in thee. Oh, God, help us to be able to do that. How difficult that is, isn't it? We lay the problem before God, and then we go to bed and wrestle all night with the problem. We wake up during the night thinking about it, and we can't go to sleep as we wonder, well, what's going to happen? And what if I do this? And what if I do that? And maybe I should do this. And we're not really resting in God to take care of it. We continue to carry the burden, and that's what wears us out. Having called upon God for his help, then we need to take the second step and just rest in God. I've placed it in the hands of God, and I'm just trusting him to take care of it. Now, it'll drive your friends crazy. Well, what are you doing about it? Oh, I'm just trusting the Lord, just resting here. Well, now, come on. God helps those that help themselves. You got to do something, you know. You just can't sit there. We used to sing, of course, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And then there was a verse to that. I've got the happy hope that heckles heathens down in my heart. And when you're resting in the Lord, it can really heckle the heathen. I mean, they just don't understand why you're not in a frenzy. They don't understand how you can sleep with those problems that you're facing. How can you just sit there? Don't you? You just don't understand. You don't care. That's it. You don't care. I've placed it in the hands of the Lord. I'm resting in him. Years ago, when my wife and I were in Corona pastoring a small little church, our first Sunday, we started out with about 50 people after 2 years of hard effort. Putting our best into it, we had 17 people, and 5 of them were our own family. And things were tough. Things were hard. We were living in a rented house on South Bell Street. Kay is very inventive and artistic, and with nothing, you know, just a little bit of cheap fabric, she can make a house look great. She has that kind of artistic ability. And so we went in, and of course, I have the capacity to do the things that she feels needs to be done. So we make a good team. So we had all the honeydews. And when the honey was through, the house was very attractive. We did a lot of painting. We did a lot of fixing up. And so when the lady came to collect the rent, she saw how nice the house looked, and she decided she'd move back into the house herself. So she gave us an eviction notice. Well, Kay was expecting our third child. And the house was reasonable rent-wise. And to find another house that we could afford was tough, because all we could afford was $50 a month. And so the lady had given us the notice. And so 2 weeks before we were to move, she called up and asked how plans were going for our move. And we said, well, they're going fine. She said, well, do you have a house yet? We said, no. Said, well, now you know I've given you notice. You're going to have to get out of there because I'm going to move. We said, yes, we're going to move. Don't worry. But why don't you have a house yet? Well, I said, we've been looking. We look every night and we follow the paper. We look at the ads and we're looking. And a week before we were to move, she called up again. Do you have a house yet? No, we don't. And she just about had apoplexy. I thought for a while, you know, her blood pressure goes so high, she'd kick and we wouldn't have to move. But I really didn't know how the Lord was going to work it out. But I assured her that we would be out. We'll move. And every day that week, she called to see if we found a place yet. Because we were to move on Saturday. I said, ma'am, I've already got the truck ordered. It's coming Saturday. We're going to move. But where are you going to move? I said, I don't know yet. I don't know yet. Saturday came. We didn't have a place. But we did have some. We had rented a trailer, actually. Not a truck. We could move everything in a trailer in those days. And some people in the church said, we have a garage. You can just move your stuff in the garage until you can find a house. My parents lived in Santa Ana, so we figured we'd just move in with my parents. You know, parents are so convenient. They're just really great that way. We'll just move down with my parents until we can find a rental out there that we can afford. And in the meantime, we'll move the stuff into these people's garage. Our furniture and all, we just move in their garage. So Saturday came, we rented the trailer, we moved everything into their garage, and we came down to Santa Ana. And we were eating dinner at my folks' house. And the phone rang, and the people whose house we had placed the furniture in their garage were on the phone. And they said, this afternoon, a moving van came to the little house next door to us here, and the people were moving out, and we asked them if the place was rented yet, and they said no. And we said, we know some people that will rent it. How much is it? And they said, $55. They said, we've got friends. We'll take it, you know. That very evening, well, the glorious thing, we didn't even have to rent a trailer. We could move it right out of their garage into the house. And it was a cuter house than the other one. I didn't have nearly as much work, just a new tile floor in the bath and a few other things, but we were able to fix that up, and it was just ideal. But the fact that we weren't all upset and fighting the eviction and everything else, and of course, this is what she figured. This woman was afraid that we'd go to the court with K, big with child, great with child. And we would lay this sob story on the judge, and he'd see our, you know, we'd go in with our two little children, and K's pregnant with the third, and the judge would think, my, you know, cruel woman, you know, give these kids more time. And she was really afraid of that we were going to pull some kind of a deal like that, and was just totally upset with us, though we kept assuring we're going to move out. But we had that rest. We knew that it's all in the hands of the Lord. Lord, we rest in thee. And it's wonderful to have that rest in the Lord, even when we don't know how God is going to work out the circumstances. I'm not sure what God is going to do. He's going to do something that I know. And what he does will be right. So why worry about it? Lord, we rest in thee. And then he goes on to say, and in thy name we go out against this multitude. I like that. It's not, Lord, please get on our side. It's, Lord, we're getting on your side. In your name, we're going to go out against this multitude. We're outnumbered. We're outarmed. But in your name, we're just going to go out against them. And then he throws in the little hooker. Lord, don't let man prevail against you. See, they're not going to prevail against us. We're on your side. Don't let them prevail against you, Lord. Take care of them, you know. That's a neat position to be. To know that I have placed myself in the hands of the Lord. He is fighting my battles. He's taking care of me. Man can't prevail against me, nor can they ever prevail against my God. So it's placing myself in Him, that glorious position of strength. The Proverbs read, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe." And how many times we've fled into that tower, the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus has been that tower of strength where we have fled, where we have found the peace, where we have found the refuge. And many times it's just the breathing of the name, oh Jesus, and that strength that comes, the tower of strength that is there for those who trust in Him.
Return with more of our study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson as we continue our look at the reign of Asa. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May we now be doers of the word and not hearers only, because that's self-deception. You've got to put it into practice for it to have any value in your life. Let the Spirit of God now minister to you its truth as He brings to your remembrance those things that we have studied, and He enriches you in your walk and in your faith, and in your life in Christ. May the Lord be with you and bless you, give you a good week, in Jesus' name.
As Easter is approaching, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is on the hearts of Christians everywhere, and how they might witness this beautiful story to their loved ones. With this in mind, The Word for Today would like to present a special MP3 entitled My Redeemer Lives that includes 14 reassuring messages to answer the significance of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and a life that should bring hope to everyone. Also included is a special presentation of the crucifixion from a doctor's perspective, as well as a powerful salvation message shared by Pastor Chuck. And when you order My Redeemer Lives MP3, we'll include a free CD by Pastor Chuck to witness to your loved ones that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. This CD, entitled A Risen Love, clearly presents the evidence to help others make a decision that will impact their immediate and eternal future. For more information, contact The Word for Today at 800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.